Please be seated. I think that human beings, as long as human beings have been around, have been enthralled by stories. I think across every culture and nation and tribe, stories are really, really important. And we honor a good storyteller. My father was a master storyteller. He would do it around campfires at summer camps when I was a little kid. And he could tell stories out of the Bible as if we had never heard them before. And he would hold us all just right there in the palm of his hand. He could draw pictures with words so powerful and so amazing that he could make you smell things that weren't there. It was just incredible. And the power of story is huge for all of us. It's something primal, something brainstem, reptilian, deeply part of our identity of who we are. And this story that we heard told today is a 2,000-year-old story. And Christians have been telling it to each other for 2,000 years. And we recount this story over and over and over because it's that story, it's that cornerstone, vital tale that basically informs who we are and what we think we're supposed to do and who we're supposed to be in the world. And this week, today, Palm Sunday, it marks the beginning of a week-long storytelling festival. We will retell this narrative over and over this week in various bites of it, various pieces, drawing attention to different aspects of this story to help seal it in our minds, help seal it in our spirit, to help us know what we're supposed to do. And it began out in the courtyard. It began with us distributing palms and laughing a little bit and gathering together, a little self-conscious, feeling like maybe what we're doing is a little bit silly. But somehow we know it's really important. So we gathered out there, we grabbed our palms, and we came in singing. We came right between the choir as we sang as loud as we could, singing and praising Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We made our way in here and we sat down to listen to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this revelry, something becomes very clear to us. And it is that this story is not going to end the way it's supposed to. No, because you know, just as old as stories, the old part of human beings is that we believe that violence and physical power are the only way things actually happen in the world. We believe it. It's as much part of our brainstem as our love for stories. So we come in with this unspoken expectation that maybe this time Jesus will conquer. Jesus will be powerful. But we know better. And as that story begins to unfold, we look on in horror as Jesus is misunderstood and rejected by everyone, including us, and finally condemned to death. And so we'll have a couple of days this week, Monday and Tuesday, to just absorb that, absorb the reality of that. But on Wednesday, we're invited to come back and come back into the ever-darkening Chapel of the Four Sisters right at sunset. And there we will listen to this very strange liturgy called Tenebrae, which works through Psalter and Psalm and portions of Holy Scripture and music and the power of watching light slowly diminish, the light of day diminishing and the light of the candles diminishing as we take sin and evil and death seriously. We'll listen to the anguish of our spiritual forebears as they speak for us and lay their blatant sinfulness and the suffering it has caused at the altar of the Lord. And on Thursday, we'll gather together in the parish hall for a sweet, intimate, earthy meal. And then we will make our way back into the nave again for some more important storytelling. And this time we will enter the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. We'll listen to Jesus attentively, teach his disciples about how they are to love one another. And we will remove our sandals. And we will allow someone to wash our feet. We will cradle the feet of a brother or sister in Christ in the palm of our own hands. And and we will begin to understand something about Jesus' real power. The only power that really matters. And then we'll listen to the words of institution as Jesus commands his disciples to eat his flesh, drink his blood, to become one with him and experience what he experiences, which we know all too well is going to be rejection and crucifixion. And as the weight of the difference between the expectations of the reality of Jesus set in and what's really going on, we will watch as this altar is stripped. And all of the things that we use to help us think about God will be taken out one little step at a time. And then a tiny little remnant of the bread and wine will be carried into the chapel of the Four Sisters, where you will be invited through the night to sit with Jesus for a while, to obey his command or be like his disciples that dozed off in his presence. And he comes and says, "Can you not wait with me even for an hour?" You'll be invited to sit and wait with Jesus as he contemplates his own death. And then just at daybreak, we will consume that last little bit of bread and wine in silence. And then the weight of what is coming will begin to take its effect. On Friday, both at noon here and at 7 o'clock in the evening over at St. Albans, we will gather for the most terrifying part of the story. We will hear Jesus condemned to death once again. We will see him mocked and spat upon and rejected and called a fool once again. We will deny with Peter that we ever even knew him. We will see the nails, the blood, the suffering, the confusion of Jesus himself about the meaning of all of this. And we'll be there when Jesus dies. And we'll go home in silence that night. Because in a very real sense, our God is dead. And on Saturday, we just wait. We wait as Jesus lay in the tomb, as Jesus has a Sabbath rest. And we will wait with him. We'll knock around our houses. We'll do a few chores. You may come up here and help get some things ready for the evening. But all the while, we will listen to the story in our head again. And then finally, at the end of that long waiting day, we will come together into the church again. This time in total darkness. The darkness of Good Friday will still prevail. And we will light the new light of Christ. The horrible day of waiting will finally be over, and we will gather together to witness of the coming of the light into the world. And that night we will hear the story rehearsed once again, this time not just the whole gospel narrative, but all the way back to the very beginning, to when God created light in the first place. And we will take bites of the salvation story from creation all the way up to the resurrection of Jesus. Then in the half-light of the tomb with Jesus, we will baptize three new people into this community, into their faith in Christ. And then and only then will we hear the great rumble, the great noise that will roll the stone away, and we will finally be able to declare that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Only then will we fully understand how unbelievably huge this story really is. Only then will we begin to understand why it all happened. Only then will we begin to understand who Jesus really is. And only then can we fully understand to what lengths God has gone to bring us home. Only then can we really claim that Jesus is the Messiah sent from God. So friends, I invite you on behalf of the church to enter into this most holy of weeks. I invite you to experience the whole story. I invite you to clear your incessantly busy calendar just for a little while and enter into this ancient narrative, the narrative of the salvation of the world. To do so will be to know how infinitely important you are to God. To do so will be to know how infinitely important we all are to God. And it will remind us of how much God loves us, how much God loves the whole world. And it will bind this community together in one communion, one fellowship in Christ. So please come. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.